The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Coming to you live from Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this September 16th, 2024. I know what date it is because it's my birthday today. It's my birthday. That's right. And back there in the glass cage, well, in the phone booth, we have none other than Pastor Richard and Deacon Eric. And then we have in the glass cage where we keep him locked up. But he does commentary. Our producer, no other than Kenny Skinny.
How you doing, Pastor? Happy birthday.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Okay. And way out yonder in Missouri, we have none other than the parson, Joe Larson.
I thought you'd given up having birthdays. I thought we did that for Lent a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I quit doing it for about 3 years, but I had to pick it up on it. Anyhow, folks, if you want to know how old I am, I'm 39 for the 38th time.
So you figure. That's some great kind of record.
Yeah, it is. So anyhow.
Yeah.
We got a lot to get to tonight. So
good evening, everyone.
Yeah, what about
Catholic? I forgot all about there she was. Say it again.
Good evening, everyone.
All right, she did that perfectly. All right, get out there. I've got so much to do tonight. Yeah. It's we have a lot. Last minute, Jake Lang called in, and he wants to try to call in. He said J6er has been in prison without any charges, without a charge now, for over 1,300 days. And how wicked and evil that is. He's a political prisoner in this great country of America.
I cannot understand why the Senate, the House, has not screamed and yelled and started hearings on that. Why somebody hasn't taken that to the Supreme Court, filed an amicus brief or something. I mean, I just cannot believe the inaction over the political prisoners that are held without bail, without trial. I mean, this is
it's got to be political optics.
History.
It's the optics of it. That's what's holding people back.
Yep. There you go.
Well, they're afraid they're going to come after them.
Exactly.
Yep, that's exactly what it is. You know, they're
their rules.
Remember what Chuck E. Schumer said: when you go up against the intelligence agents,
committee,
yep, you're going to be
Six ways to Sunday.
They'll get you. You see what they've tried to do to Trump. So they're watching what they've done to Trump. And again, Congress should vote. Well, they did. They wanted to, but we have rhinos that let us down, but they could defund the Justice Department. They could defund them, what they need to do, because they're corrupt as corrupt gets, absolutely corrupt. But anyhow, I got to get on with some things here. Tonight, two things we have. This is Pledge Week. And the numbers are 888-281-1110. 1110 or 888-677-9673. Now, we have people that have pledged. Lisa, 125, Wendy, 880, and Jim, right here in Ohio, 2,000. And so, very, very good. Thank you.
Well, I didn't pledge anything. I just went to the website and donated $200.
Okay, well, that means you...
.org, and it's real easy.
So put Joe down for two, okay? Now, here's the thing. I've got some good news. The good news is for a donation of $25 or more, we have my Pastor Ernie Sanders, 50 years of exhilarating moments, untold challenges, and many stories in between. I didn't write that, but it's true. Part one, there's 6 hours we have of these videos, and I talk about things that have happened over the years we've been involved with. In fact, tonight we're going to be playing a clip in the second part of the program, and here, that clip I was involved with, as we have former FBI head Ted Gunderson, and we had him on the program. He actually came up here and stayed with us. And what happened, what took place, we're playing some of the tapes of Ted when he was involved in investigating his child sex trafficking. Anyhow, they finally killed him. And he told me, Pastor, they're going to try to kill me. But they finally got him. But anyhow, praise God for bold men like him. Anyhow, we have these videos, these DVDs that it's available. And you'll see how how handsome I was and then what I look like today. And you'll see how time is cruel. Time is cruel.
How long ago was this?
this spans over 50 years, this video here.
You praise Ancient of Days, haven't you, Ken?
Yeah. Yes. It starts out in the early days of the 50 years. So anyhow, we have that available. But now here I've got some news that I start. Well, look, we got, praise the good Lord, Pastor Joe, too, and Bob in New York pledges a 500. Thank you. And so we're off to a good start.
Matches from any of us there. There's a whole raft of donations that people can...
We'll take a match on any of them. Yep.
Right.
Here's the thing, too. The bad news is this. I have to let folks know, we have three stations that are... in real danger of we have to drop them. This week, this pledge week, it's going to mean a lot. We are really going to need to hear from you folks out there on these three stations, because the one that's in the most danger right now is WKPRZ, KPRZ, K-Praise, 1210 in San Diego. That's in the worst. But right behind it, we have WKWRD, 100.7 in Dallas. And then behind that, we have WYLL, 1160 in Chicago. Those three stations are in real danger of being dropped. And not because we want to. We don't want to at all. We have some really good people out there, and and I can tell you this, and you know this, we will fight, and we have fought with everything. I mean, with everything we have, we fought to stay on, and we will do that. I will try as hard as I can. But, folks, I need your help to do it. I can't do it by myself. Now, some of the other stations have been carrying you, those three stations, and that's the only way they've been here. So...
you look at that. Dallas, Chicago, and San Diego. Three of probably the top five cities in the United States that desperately need to hear your message.
Boy, do they. Especially nowadays because of what's happening. And they know that we're not going to compromise. We're going to tell them what's happening. We're not afraid of Merrick Garland and Chris Ray. We're not afraid. We're going to tell them exactly what's happening, and that's what we're going to do tonight, in fact. And so that's why we really need to hear from you folks, especially help us out. We want to stay on those stations. So this is Pledge Week. The numbers are 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Now we're going to get into the message. And Joe, some years ago, well, we have a song we play. You remember that song, Judgment Train?
Oh, yes, I sure do. One of my favorites.
I hear that train a-coming because it's coming around the bend. I wrote that song some years ago. And
train's called Judgment, right?
Absolutely. And what inspired that song, I watched this movie called Purgatory that was on some years ago. And in that movie, now there is no purgatory. I want to make that, we don't believe in purgatory. There is no purgatory. But some years ago, they had this movie, and the movie was this town called Purgatory. And what happened is people were, they came in there on the train, and according to the doctrine of purgatory is that it's a holding area. It's a holding area for people. They're there and then they get judged and decide whether they go to heaven or hell. Well, that's, it's not biblical at all, but it makes a good movie.
Yeah.
And so what happened when I watched that movie, these people went in and then they were given instructions. They had to live a perfect life. They couldn't violate any laws. They had to live. And if they did, then they wouldn't. They were cast right there in purgatory at the graveyard. It was a big opening in the ground, and it was that was the lake of fire below. And they were taken there and thrown into the lake of fire. And in that movie, you had good guys and you had the bad guys, and I think you had Wild Bill Hickok and Jesse James were the good guys in that movie.
And if those were the good guys, oh boy.
Yeah, and so and then they fought against the bad guys, and they killed them, and the bad guys got thrown into the lake of fire, and then you see the good guys riding on the train out of purgatory going towards heaven, okay? But again, like I said, that was
only
just
in Hollywood.
Yeah, but anyhow, that was the inspiration for the song. But now I said all that to say this, okay? Today, there's an old heresy that's been around, and it's making its round big time. About a year or so ago, the Pope made a statement that he didn't believe there was a hell where people went. He didn't believe that there was a place where they were tormented forever. And, of course, we know what the Bible teaches, and that's what we're going to be on. I'm preaching on hell all this week. Now, but this old heresy, these people are coming back, and you've heard the Word of Faith movement saying that repentance is not necessary for salvation. They never preach on sin. They never preach against hell at all. And so here, it's a false doctrine of salvation for everyone. Everyone goes to heaven. And this is growing. It's being taught more and more out there today. And now, it would be a wonderful thing. Well, if there were no sin or sinners, and everyone would receive eternal life in heaven. But that's not the reality. The reality is far more people will end up in hell than in heaven. And so, and we're going to take a look at that here in just a minute, too. Now, hell is described as a state of torment, a fiery existence, a place of the dead. Heaven is above, hell is below, a literal place of torment. It's a spiritual place. Those in that state of torment will end up in the lake of fire, according to the Bible. Now, hell is mentioned, now right, they say they don't think there's hell. The hell is mentioned 54 times in the Bible, 31 times in the Old Testament, and 23 times in the New Testament. And we're going to start tonight in 2 Corinthians.
Like they're making God out to be a liar.
Right. But they're
That's going to happen.
Yeah, what they do is they just take the scriptures that talk about heaven and talk about eternal life, and they use these, say, right here, this shows you that that people don't go to hell, that they go to heaven. But what they forget to tell you is those that go to heaven are predestined to go to heaven. Those that go to heaven are those that have repented of their sin, called upon the name of the Lord, okay? They leave those parts of that message out. So let's go to 2 Corinthians now, chapter 11. We'll start with verse 4.
The title, Judgment Train to Hell, boarding
now. Yep. Alrighty. Ronald in Youngstown pledges 50. Thank you, Ronald. That number again is 888-281-1110. 888-677-9673. And folks, we need... Here, give me a birthday present, folks. Let us stay on those stations. That would be a big birthday present. Remember, Joe and I don't get paid for doing this. We volunteer our time. And everyone here volunteers their time. The money all goes into the ministry, the radio, especially into the pro-life ministry, saving babies.
You are here till midnight, ending your birthday here for everyone listening.
That's right. And...
And he won't look a day older, really.
maybe a couple days.
All righty. let's not talk about my looks. That's a sore subject. All righty. Let's go. Read verse 4, Joe. Go on.
For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him.
All right, now that's a very interesting verse, okay?
Yep.
Because it sounds like you're saying you might as well listen to him, huh?
Well, yeah, if we bear with something, it means we tolerate it, but... Bear, the meaning actual here is to push back.
To push against, you're right. Word there means not the way we usually use it, but there. No. Instead, usually to bear a burden means to hold it, but here it means to push away from it, push it away from us, right? And so, if they cometh preaching another Jesus, well, the other Jesus they're preaching out there is one that is tolerant of sin.
Sin, right.
When it comes to sin, there's no man that ever walked the earth that's less tolerant of sin than the Lord Jesus.
Especially after what he had to do to pay the price for our sins.
And it says if you receive another spirit, that means any spirit other than the Holy Spirit.
Spirit,
okay?
You're going to hell because that spirit would be that of...
the Antichrist, demons. Yeah. Or another gospel, okay, and this is exactly what they're preaching. They're preaching another gospel.
Gospel, right.
Not the gospel once delivered. And so...
That is the only gospel. Anything else is a forgery, a fake, a fantasy, or a fairy tale.
Absolutely. Tony in Toronto pledges 150. Thank you, Tony. 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Now go and read verses 12 through 15, Joe.
But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works.
Some years ago, Joe, we had a mayor here in Cleveland, Mayor White was his name, he sent out invitations. I got an invitation to come down They wanted to decide whether or not they were going to open all this, the city council meetings, with prayer or not. So they wanted to hear from the local pastors. So I got invited to come, and I went there, and there were a number of other pastors that were real pastors and Christian pastors, but then there were a number of the apostate there too. And so all the Baptist preachers that were there made the statement, yes, we believe, we know you should open in prayer, okay? God's word doesn't stutter. The Bible says pray without ceasing. And so, but the opposition, the liberal preachers, the apostate preachers, were saying, well, there's people here that aren't Christian or might be Muslim or Jewish, and you would be offended to open up a prayer, especially, praying.
Praying in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, right. Yep. And so afterwards, when we left there, as I was leaving, this tall, skinny apostate preacher came up and said to me, Brother Sanders, he said, now, we can agree to disagree. We don't agree on everything, but we're still brothers in the Lord. And I said, no, we're not. You people support abortion. You people support sodomy. The devil is your daddy, and we're not brothers at all. And he just stood there with his eyes wide because that was the truth. What could he say? And I told him, read Matthew chapter 23. You'll find out there's a special hot place in hell for you apostate preachers who knowingly are leading people right to the gates of hell.
I bet he ran off about then.
Yeah, he did.
I wonder how I knew that.
But anyhow, now, remember, they're telling you there really is no hell. There really is no hell. Joe, I want you to go over to Matthew chapter 7. And in Matthew chapter 7, I want you to start with read verse 13 and 14.
Enter ye in the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it.
So when he says few there be that find it, if I asked you, if I say, what is a single? If I'm asking you about a single thing, you would say one, right?
Right.
If I would say, what about a couple, what would you say?
A duo.
A couple is usually two, right?
Two, yeah.
And if I said a few, what would you say?
Well, a few could be, I'd call it five or more, but some people say three or more.
Well, few, usually the definition was three or more, right? Mm-hmm. And so the Bible makes it very, very clear for the nation of Israel that one-third, one out of three, are going to go to heaven, are going to receive Christ. Two-thirds are going to perish, okay? And God, being immutable, does things the same way. And the church in Israel, remember what it says, whether they're Jew or Gentile, okay? Israel will receive Christ as a Savior too. So I believe that will apply to what is referred to in the church. I believe about one-third of those that are professing Christians in the world will be saved. What do you think?
If you look at it that way, you'd have to believe what Scripture said, but in reality, when I look around, it seems like it's going to be a lot less than a third.
Yeah, it does seem that way, but we don't know what might happen yet, because remember, during the tribulation period, you're going to have 144,000 flaming John the Baptists out there during the tribulation period, and more people, I believe, are probably going to get saved during that period than up to it. And
that's
so
very possible, because it always seems like the more the church is persecuted, the faster the church grows.
Right. The blood of the martyrs.
Persecuted, the church just kind of folds away.
Right. The blood of the martyrs are the seeds of the church.
Right.
All righty. We're going to break away.
Remember me, you gave my job away. straight who doesn't qualify for foreign aid. Remember me, I helped you get elected. But you haven't done one thing you said you'd do. Well, even though you'd rather not remember me, I'll remember you. Remember me, I served my country proudly. Remember me, I love the USA. Remember me, or am I just some bumpkin who you didn't think would notice the bounce checks and midnight rays? Remember me, I wrote you all those letters, thinking that you cared what I thought too. Well, even though you often just forget to remember, I'll remember you. I'll remember.
I'll remember. In November,
as I step into the little booth, I'll remember.
All right, we're back, and we have with us Jake Lane calling here from that dirty old nasty prison cell. Hey, Jake, you're in the air. Are you there, Jake?
Pastor. Yes, sir. God bless you, Pastor Ernie.
God bless you, my friend. How long has it been now?
Today's day 1,339 of my incarceration without a trial, held as a political hostage in the gulags by the Biden and Kamala Harris regime of tyrants and communists that treat American citizens worse than the 9/11 terrorists.
Yeah, I know. We've really got to do something. We got to get them out of that office. And people, you know, they're so afraid of the Communist Party. They're so afraid of Merrick Garland and Chris Ray and the Antichrist.
Hey, Pastor, I'm so sorry to cut you off. I have a special surprise for you, too. Pastor Corey Shankleton, my good friend, is going to be joining us here in a minute or two. So tell your control room to patch him in. He's a great supporter of the January Sixers, and I wanted to have him on with me. And I know that you guys worked on the heartbeat bill together.
Yeah, absolutely. So when he calls,
the control room knows that he's calling in.
Oh, yeah. When he gets in, I think that may be him coming in now. The phones are ringing. This is Pledge Week. Alfred in Illinois, Pledge 20. And let's go. The numbers are 888-281-1110. That's credit card line. 888-677-9673. All right, there you go. I have to get those out. This is an important week for us because we got to raise the funds to stay on the air. Boy, do we have to raise them now. And so,
100%, Pastor, I've got an amazing, first of all, I'm going to pledge $200 to you right now from the Jan Sixers and from my family to support this radio station because, well, first of all, because we're one body in Christ and we must support each other. But secondly, Pastor, when I was just in the hole in solitary confinement, which is called the hole, I had a hand crank radio. And guess which station I was able to get on the AM station and listen to my favorite pastor every night at 10 o'clock and be filled and be blessed in the cell with the MS-13 gang member and sitting there listening to you. And it's like, I mean, it's just such a it's such a warmth, like having a friend with you. And so I'm in my cell in Brooklyn, New York on the 9th floor in this tiny 8x10 cell, disgusting. And, you know, we're stuck in there. You only get out of that cell when you're in the hole probably about 3 hours per week. So you're in the cell like 160 hours, and 3 hours you're outside of it. But I was able to listen to you every night, Pastor, and was just so encouraged and comforted by, you know, your program and everything. So, you know, that's not the first time either that I've been stuck in solitary confinement and had the opportunity to listen to you. Another time, I was in Lewisburg Maximum Security Penitentiary, and that's the first time I ever heard your voice in What's Right, What's Left Ministries and you know, WRWL.org. And, you know, I originally wrote down your name and because the message that you were giving was obviously one inspired by the Holy Spirit and, you know, rooted and centered in Christ, but it wasn't just this glossed over biblical message that was not applying it to the principles of, you know, solution, you know, pragmatic solutions in America, what we need to do to save our country, because, you know, and God bless, I listen to hundreds of pastors since I've been incarcerated, and I enjoy all of their programs and, you know, the deep dives into the Bible and Bible studies and spiritual scriptural messages, but there is such a, and they all have their place, but there's such a missing component to, you know, church, which is trying to, you know, win the day here in our current situation.
Well, the Bible says, Jake, that the righteous are as bold as lions. Look, 366 times in the Bible, it says either fear not or be not afraid. And we have to do that. And look, we're out there. God says he'll give us the victory. We got to be doers of the word. We got to run to this battle and act like Christian soldiers. By the way, Corey is here. Bring Corey up. Hey, Corey, are you there?
I am here.
Well, welcome. Jake's here with us, too.
And it's so good to hear you, Pastor Ernie. I remember fighting alongside you with Janet Porter and the Heartbeat Bill in Ohio. So what you were talking about, running to the fight, you have demonstrated that over and over again, brother.
Well, we all have to do that. That's why God has raised us up for such a time as this. And
absolutely.
Corey, Saturday I was there at that meeting in Columbus where you had the Ohio Pro-Life Action Committee. There were several hundred people there, but the thing about it was the spirit to fight was there. And they, you know, they were talking about, you know, when we receive a defeat, like with issue one last year, what happens is we just turn around and get ready to go and do the next right thing. Let's just do the next right thing. You know, we don't lay down, and we can't lay down. And a lot of people get discouraged, but we are not to get discouraged, are we?
No, you know, because we have the unstoppable God at our back in all that we do. And, you know, Jake is one of the best examples of that. You know, all of the, unjust torture and you know, just endless court battles that he faces, and he keeps getting back up. You know, I remember Janet during that fight for the Heartbeat Bill all of those years. You know, one thing that she always drilled into our hearts, which we know is a biblical principle, it's like it's never the wrong time to do the right thing. And this is the hour right now where we must do the right thing on so many fronts. The pro-life front, obviously this J6 injustice that's happening. So many things in our nation. This is our call as believers to come into the battle right now.
Absolutely. You know, it was very disappointing how the Republican Party has lessened its stand on child killing and abortion. But what we're going to do is we're going to put fire to their feet. We have to do that. We have to raise up. And if people, what if people actually realized, I mean, for real, think about this. If people out there for real understood what God's Word, the Bible, says about having your works follow you to heaven, Revelation 14:14, your works follow you into heaven, okay? If they understood right now how if they were to be fearless and run to this battle and place up those crowns in heaven, how long forever is, okay? If they really, really understood that, we'd have a whole different country, wouldn't we?
We certainly would, and it all begins with the fight for the unborn and the innocent, because, you know, people can look at the battle right now for our J6 brothers and sisters and go, how in the world can anybody treat a human being like that? Well, we've fostered a culture in our nation where we don't value the innocence of the unborn. So how are we going to value any other arena of life? And so we've spoiled down there. But absolutely, you know, Martin Luther says, you know, if we're not fighting where the fire is the hottest, we're a traitor to the cause. And that's where we're at right now. And we have to fight where the fire is the hottest. And we don't do it with human zeal and, you know, by, you know, flesh and blood. We do it with the power of the Holy Spirit, knowing that it matters. And it's going to, as you said, it's going to reverberate through heaven for all of eternity. Every righteous act that is done under the direction of the Holy Spirit. And this is what we're being called to, you know, and I'm glad you're here to fight this battle and lead this charge. I've just been so honored to fight with you and Janet and so many others. And our brother Jake here is just an inspiration. I think he's a picture of what God wants the church to be.
He sure is. He absolutely is. And, you know, I mean, he's there. He's there because he tried to save Roseanne Boylan, and that's why he's there. And I mean, it's so here, I'm going to tell you, when he gets to heaven, he'll be rewarded for that, and Roseanne will be.
Yeah, he's a modern day, you know, Paul, you know, really fire shut up in his bones, and is really showing the way for the church, I believe, in our nation. So these J6 guys, they're not suffering needlessly. They are inspiring so many. And, you know, I know one of the things we've got to do is make sure they never feel forgotten. We've got to make sure that we're staying in contact with them. You know, as believers, we need to be lifting them up in prayer. There's, you know,
we absolutely have
inside who's sharing the gospel, but we've got to make sure that they're backed up with prayer as well.
Yeah, we really have to go, you know, When God says prayer and pray without ceasing, look, we have to do that. And then Trump said day one, when he gets into office, he will pardon all the J6ers. You know, we've got to get him in office. And we've got to, right now, what they're doing, Merrick Garland is completely corrupt. There's nothing about that Justice Department that is not corrupt. It is corrupt from top to bottom. And what they're doing right now is they're adding thousands of new crooked lawyers. And what they want to do is they're going to try to make it to where they're going to do what they do, twist and spin the Constitution, and to make it say, and this is what they're working on right now as we're here, that these new appointments, these new crooked lawyers are permanent. They're permanent appointments. They cannot be fired. This is what they're working on now. And by doing that, they will totally neutralize whatever President Trump tries to do. When he tries to...
Yeah, they're trying to do what they call the Trump-proofing of the DOJ.
Yeah, exactly.
And as you said, there is nothing righteous, there is nothing just about our Justice Department at all. And as you said, President Trump has said that he will pardon these J6ers on day one, and we need to make sure that that comes to pass, because this is, you know, apart from the abortion issue, this is the greatest injustice our nation has seen. And, you know, if anybody thinks, well, it's just those guys, you know, what they're laying the groundwork for in the DOJ and what they've done in hiring the 87,000 new FBI or IRS agents, they're not going to be satisfied with just the J6 brothers and sisters. They're coming for each and every one of us. You know, as you've already experienced, I've already experienced. Anyone who wants to stand up for a principled, Christ-centered life, you will be seen as an enemy of the state. And the same measure that is being used against these J6 guys and ladies is coming for us. So it's better to fight right now than when it's on our doorstep.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We take it to them. And,
absolutely.
You know,
there's no defense in the kingdom.
James 1:22, be you a doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving your own self. And so God has given us, he's raised us up for a time as this. Now it's time for us to run to this battle. And we really need
absolutely.
To. And I wish there was a way we could explain to people just how much that's going to matter. The day
well,
is going to
come.
You do
it every night on the air here, Pastor Ernie. I mean, your program reaches so many people, and you are doing that. You are explaining to people what the urgency of the hour is and aligning people really with the ways of God. I mean, that is part of what has to happen. We've got to understand that this is not just a simple election. This isn't just simple, injustice. This is a very real spiritual battle, and we need to see, we need to discern, and we need to move in action in agreement with what the Lord is doing in trying to the bottom line is to save this nation for its intended purpose, which is to propagate the gospel of the kingdom.
Absolutely. Oh, this is Pledge Week. I've got to get the numbers out because we really have to hear from the folks out there at 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Now, Jake, we got a caller named Isaac. He says he's your friend.
Yes, this is January 6th, political prisoner, and Isaac is my younger brother in the spirit. He is just as strong, if not stronger than me, and a fighter of unbelievable proportions for God's kingdom. And I want Isaac to tell his story tonight because it is so inspiring what this young man has triumphed through in his life. He is an inspiration to the whole entire January 6th community, and Pastor Corey is his pastor, and that's how we got, obviously me and Isaac got connected being a January 6er, but that's how me and Pastor Corey got connected, and so the family of God is growing, and that's one of the, I have to say before I bring Isaac on, that's one of the unforeseen, beautiful things, how God could take what the enemy intended for evil and turn it to our good. What they never expected was that through the January 6th persecution, tens of thousands of God's people and patriots would become so tightly interwoven and turn into the next great movement to secure freedom for our posterity. They thought that they would strike the shepherd and the sheep would scatter, which is a biblical principle. But after the sheep scattered, we all came and met back up, and there happened to be hundreds of thousands of more sheep with us when we came and met back up this time. And Isaac is a young man. He's the youngest January 6er that was incarcerated. I watched him go through multiple birthdays in prison and grow up. He needs no introduction because he's a Jan 6er and he's a child of God. And that's the biggest thing. But he's got a story to tell. So, Isaac, my brother, how are you?
Okay, bring Isaac up. Hey, Isaac, are you there?
Yeah, hi. Thanks for having me. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you, Jake, for the introduction. Yeah, Jake's a good brother of mine. We spent a lot of months in solitary confinement together. And I'll tell you what, that's one good thing that has came out of this situation is it has brought, God-loving patriots together. And it's created connections and really just a network of God's army, God's soldiers, and I think it's amazing to see him take such, Jesus take such a terrible situation and use it for good and use it to really wake up our country. And I think what happened is America got into our comfort zone, and and we started to let things slide, and we didn't pay attention. We weren't in a relationship with God as a country. We weren't serving God. And I think that that God has given America a chance to really repent and to turn from their ways. And I think that his people, specifically the ones that the government is coming after so hard right now, I think that he's calling those people to be an example, all of us to be an example to the rest of our nation, so that people will be able to see what it's like to have God and what it's like to have true joy and peace from the Lord. And I think to see a situation like Jake's, where he's been in prison for 3.5 years without a trial, and to see the amount of joy that he has. But there's these politicians out here with 20 cars and millions of dollars that they don't even know what to do with, and they don't have any joy, no peace, because true joy can only come from Jesus Christ. So it is good to see him using this situation for good. And we got to hold on to that. We got to know that he is in control, and that despite us being taken out of our comfort zone, that overall, you know, this has been used for his plan and his purpose. So thank you guys for having me on tonight.
Well, Pete, thanks for calling. Tell us a little bit about what daily life is where you're at.
Yeah, it's, so I, before this, I basically had a really nice job at an elderly care home, nice little house, and then the government came, turned things upside down, put me in jail for a while. And then a couple months back, just a couple months ago, I got released. I've been trying to rebuild my life and also prepare for trial at the same time, and also prepare for the fact that they could take all of this away again as soon as I get everything rebuilt. But God has been truly blessing me every day. He's been meeting, allowing me to meet people like Pastor Corey and Jake and so many others across the country. And I know we hear a lot of negativity about the corruption and everything, but it's nice to focus on, you know, the positive connections and stuff that God has brought with this as well. So that's basically what has taken up every single day since January 6th.
Well, we see that spirit.
Every hour of my time.
The spirit of a soldier out there, a fighter. You know, we're seeing what they try to do to President Trump. And, you know, President Trump is, you know, is not giving up. I mean, you can see he's got God's anointing on him. And this is what's got the devil's crowd, and I mean the devil's crowd. Listen, what has got them so worried, so upset, so afraid. They know he gets back into office. Many of these people, they're going to end up hopefully in that same jail right now that Jake's in. They belong to be put right in there for what they did. And I'd like to see Merrick Garland and Chris Ray as a couple of the first two to go. But we got to be bold, and you're right. And Jake, you tell us what it's like, you know, today, you know, your daily life there in jail where you're at, the prison.
Sure. Well, you know, first, me and Isaac were incarcerated together in Washington, D.C. jail, and we were both in a solitary confinement unit where we only got out of our cell 4 or 5 hours a day. So we were in our cell basically 20 hours a day. And he was on the top tier, or he was on the bottom tier. I was on the top tier for a while. And, you know, we would come out different set of 4 hours. And I would go to his door, and we'd sit and listen to worship music together and pray together and hang out and, you know, just survive together, cook each other food. If one was in the cell, the other one bring some food to the other guy. And so, you know, there's no kind of closer bond that you can forge with men other than struggling together in an environment and situation like that, in the gulag, in the basement of DC jail, where it was damp and cold and disgusting and there was vermin. I remember one time Isaac found a cockroach that was like the size of, like, I don't know, like his big thumb. And, you know, I think he killed it. And he was trying to show the lieutenant at the time that we're having an infestation. And they slammed the door in his face and locked him in a cell trying to, you know, just retaliate against him because he's like, I want a BP-9 or, you know, I want a grievance report. I want this, you know, reported on. And they refused to bring in the paperwork and stuff. So I've seen my young brother Isaac fight, you know, in every single scenario and circumstance to try to make our environment better and to hold these people accountable that have been abusing us and all of the other J6 patriots. And, you know, the abuse never stops when you're in government custody because, as a lot of people like to say in this movement, the January 6th movement, the process is the punishment. The process is the punishment. And so they make the process so unconstitutional, so grueling, so just bureaucratic. And like, it's, imagine the same people who run your local DMV run a prison. And so everything is mismanaged, disorganized, underfunded, well, it's not underfunded. That's the thing. They want to pretend like it's underfunded, but the U.S. Marshals pay the jails that we're at. The federal government pays the jails that we're at, I think $500 per day to house us as pretrial detainees. And, you know, that's because we have our January 6ers. They were able to get all the extra money for labeling us domestic terrorists and stuff, but then they treat us and give us, you know, one one-thousandth of that to live on. And so, you know, the current conditions I'm at right now, I'm in probably the most violent pretrial detention facility in all of America. There were back-to-back murders here, violent gang stabbings where people died with knife wounds to the throat and to other, you know, vital, you know, their stomach. They were stabbed 20, 40 times by a group of gang members, you know, surrounded and killed. That happened twice in July. And, you know, it's just, there's lockdowns that happen after that for months long where you're stuck inside your cell. No showers except every 3 or 4 days and no phone calls, no anything. You can't even communicate to your family. So, you know, but God, this is the good soil here for ministry, because there's no better place to be at than in the lion's den, in the midst of the struggle and the battle. Because, you know, God bless the January 6th unit, which was a beautiful, you know, cohesive place. There were, you know, little scraps here and there as brothers sometimes bump heads, but it was not a dangerous, you know, evil place like the place I'm at is. But here you have a ministry that is so ripe. I mean, the fields are ripe, and where are the fellow workers?
Fellas, we're coming up to a hard break right now, so hang tight in there. It's a very short break. We'll be back very shortly, so just hang in there. We'll be right back after this with more.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.